Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh. Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in it. Yahweh is the Elohim of three black men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are our forefathers. And it's very important to know that today we're going to be speaking of something that even our forefathers in righteousness, even though Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were given laws and statutes and commandments that we keep unto this very day. He gave their children, which is us, the so-called African Americans, and all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of this earth. He gave us a covenant like never was before. And the covenant contained holy feast days that he gave us as a nation of people. And one of the greatest holy feast days that Yahweh ever gave us, so that we would have our sins and our iniquities and our transgressions and uncleanness forgiven, is called the Great Day of Atonement. Today we're going to be speaking of this great day. We're going to be speaking of how this great day is a blessing for us and how we never needed any religion of any people whatsoever. So it's so important today, so important that you listen, because these are the words of the true and living Elohim. But, of course, before we start, we love to give praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel in song. So, hold tight, and let's have a song praising the Almighty. Hallelujah.
way Elohim must live my life within his law. Must live my life in righteousness. I gotta keep all of his testimony. Who made the heavens? Who made the arms in the sky? For the Sabbath day, that's when I acknowledge my holy sign. Exodus chapter 31, 12 through 17. I do not need to worry. Yahweh will send me when I'm in distress and in trouble. He told me to walk humble, like Uzziah the prophet, destroyed for lack of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. He told me to acknowledge him and all of my ways. We living in these latter days. I gotta put all of my trust in his holy name. I know that Yahweh is king. Yeah, he will redeem us out of this hell. We his people, Israel, scattered from one end of the earth, overtook by his curse. I am married to Yah, for the better or worse. Give you earth, give you heavens, for Yahweh is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. Yahweh is the Elohim of truth. Without him, just and right is he. Praise Yah the Most High, yeah, he is righteous. Expectation of justice, only if you trust his laws and his statutes, precepts and his covenants. Yah sanctuary is full of benevolence, loving all his ways and not eating to the full. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, can you relate? The law is perfect and it converted my soul. The law is right and it is the only way that I will go, because the holy man is to fear Yahweh Elohim and to keep his commandments. One day there will be a famine, not for bread, no for the trust to hear the words of Yahweh, but they will not get it. H-O-Y is true to commit. Oh Yahweh, thou art my Elohim. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsel are of old, are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, and a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, and a shadow from the heat. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. We appreciate my little son, Brother Elijah. We praise the Almighty that the Almighty put that great song on his heart to sing. He's like a son to me. And I praise the Most High for blessing us with such youth that fears him and keep his commandments. Because tomorrow, we're going to start the affliction that Yahweh commanded us from generation unto generation, everywhere we live, that we were to afflict our souls so that the Almighty would forgive our sins, our transgressions, and our iniquities that we have committed before him. Make no mistake about it. This is one of the greatest holy feast days that Yahweh ever gave us. And we're blessed because the Almighty is our King. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. And he will save us. No one else. Despite what we've been taught as a people, that somebody paid the price so that you wouldn't have to pay a price, the Almighty gave us laws, statutes, commandments, covenants, precepts, testimonies, and ordinances that stand forever. And if you turn your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, we want to go over this great feast day. This great feast day that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is something that we should be praising the Almighty for. And when I say we, I'm truly speaking of the so-called African Americans and all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of this world. we are his chosen people. And the Almighty gave us these great feast days so that we would remember the things that he has done for us. Now, many of our people have forgotten this. They don't even know that this day, this great feast day, is a day that you would have never had to listen to your enemies tell you that you needed to bow down to Christ and that you needed to appreciate him shedding his blood for you on Calvary. You wouldn't have never even went for that, because our fathers and mothers would have taught our people, even unto this day, from generation unto generation, these great laws, statutes, and commandments, and these great holy feast days, which Yahweh never wanted us to take for granted. But, of course, our ancestors, our foreparents, they sinned against the Almighty, and this really greatly made Yahweh upset. And that's why we came butt naked on slave ships to this country, even unto this day. That's why we're in the conditions as black people, even unto this day. So that's why it's so important that we pay close attention to something that would put Christianity out of business. Something that if you really believe and trust in Yahweh with all your heart and don't lean to your or someone else's own understanding and acknowledge him, he would direct your path into obeying this great law. And it's in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, in the 26th verse. This is what it reads. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, also, on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. So, in other words, the Almighty said, in the 10th day of this 7th month, and we have approached the 7th month. As a matter of fact, a few days ago, we celebrated the Feast of Trumpets, or the Feast of Blowing, which represents the first day of the 7th month. And 9 days later, Yahweh commands us to begin to afflict our souls, and that we would have a different type of Sabbath. That's right, a different type of Sabbath, because Yahweh has various Sabbaths. And so it's very important that we understand what he means as we go to the latter verses that speaks of this time as a Sabbath. But make no mistake about it. Now, mark on your calendars, the 16th at evening, which is on a Monday tomorrow of September, is when we begin the affliction, our fasting, not eating anything, not drinking anything. This is what we'll do tomorrow. We will fast for our Elohim. He commands us to fast starting at evening of tomorrow. So therefore, the next day, which is the 17th of September, which is the TUES day, in the beginning of the break of light, actually begins the Day of Atonement itself. Because the Day of Atonement is the 10th day of the 7th month. You'll never see that the Day of Atonement was ever said to be the 9th day or the 11th day. But all through Scripture, when it mentions the Day of Atonement, the date that is given is consistently the 10th day of the 7th month. Now, in the 9th day at evening, we will begin an affliction or fasting. And, of course, we know these words are truly synonymous with one another, because this is what the Creator is telling us. He's telling us to fast. And this is, furthermore, this is what the Almighty is saying in verse 28. It says, and you shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement to make an atonement for you before Yahweh, your Elohim. Hallelujah. So he's instructing us that on the 10th day of the 7th month, that we're not to do any work. So on the 17th of this month, which is the TUES day, which is 2 days from now, this is going to be a day in which we're not to work. It's to be treated like the seven-day Sabbath, which Yahweh instructed us that we're not to do any work. It is a Sabbath, which means a day or a Sabbath of Sabbath, which means a day of complete rest, a day of complete rest. Now, it says, for whoso or whatsoever soul it be, that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no man of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even. From even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. And, of course, this would begin in the evening, and it would also end at the end of evening. So, in other words, Yahweh never told us at any time when he said from evening to evening, the Almighty means the complete evenings, both of them, the ninth at evening and the tenth at evening. So in other words, you're going to be doing it from evening unto evening, from the ninth, which would start tomorrow at evening, and ending at the end of evening of the 17th, which is the TUES day. This is how long we were to uphold and celebrate our Sabbath. That's what Yahweh calls it. And Sabbath means day of rest. So even though he told us don't do no work on the 10th of this month, you're not to also do any work starting at the evening of the ninth day of the month, which would correspond with the heathen calendar as September the 16th, which is tomorrow evening. So I want to be crystal clear for all of those that fear Yahweh and keep his commandments so that we would be abreast of what we're to do. It's so vitally important that we understand clearly what to do, because this is one of the greatest feast days that Yahweh ever gave us. This puts all religions to shame. Any false religion or gods that they tell you of, that they would do away and take away your sins, like the religion of Christianity, that Yahshua or J-E-S-U-S or Christ, Yahushua, call them who you want. But nevertheless, Yahweh is already taking care of our sins. Hallelujah. He's already taken care of your sins. All we got to do is return back to him. Now, isn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't the Most High the greatest? And beside him, there's none else. Because he's already taken care of all of our sins, all of our transgressions, all of our uncleanness. All we got to do is return to him. Now, I'm going to show you later on in the broadcast exactly what I mean when I say he says that he has already taken care of our sins. Matter of fact, I'm not going to delay that. I'm not going to delay it. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and see it for yourself. I mean what Yah means. Yah said, I've already taken care, I've already blotted out your sins. I've already taken care of your transgressions. All you got to do is return to him and start keeping his laws and statutes and commandments, because this is what's going to save you. No false god or religion is going to save you. You don't have to worry about somebody punishing you for sins that you used to do. Now hear me good. You won't have to worry about that no more. Because once you learn how wonderful and loving and forgiving and great and merciful and compassionate your Yahweh is, you drop those false gods in the garbage where they belong, because they're not going to do you no good on Judgment Day. Look what Yahweh said in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, starting at the 25th verse. Now, this is heavy. I, even I, am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. And this is exactly what has happened to us. We've been put under the curse that's mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And we're still going to be under the curse if we don't turn from our sins. And all you got to do is do a 180, not a 360, but a 180, an about face, go the opposite way of what you're doing, and start doing that which is lawful and right in the sight of Yahweh. Because the Almighty is telling us in the 25th verse of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, I, even I, am he that blotted out your transgressions. No one else can do this. No one else can blot your transgressions out. No creature could ever die that your transgressions would be forgiven. Only Yahweh blots out transgressions. This is a fact. Only Yahweh can blot your sins out. This is a fact. He said, put me in remembrance. And I find that amazing, because if you go to a funeral in a church and you see that big, some big words saying, put me in remembrance. In remembrance of me. You see that. Talking about Christ. And the person is laying there dead. Put me in remembrance. When somebody's dead, they can't remember anything. Yahweh is telling us to put him in remembrance, because we've forgotten him. We've forgotten the one who said in Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, the 16th verse, he said, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sins. Every man shall be put to death for his own sins. And he means that. No one can save you from your sins except the one who created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in it. He is the creator of the world. He is the savior of the world. And no one else can save us. That's why Yahweh lets you know. He said, I blotted out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. All you got to do, my people, first go to Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. This is all you got to do. And it's not hard at all. All you got to do is be sincere and be honest and mean what you say and say what you mean. And this is what the Almighty's telling us in the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, in the 19th verse. Yah said, yet you say, why? Why does not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? This is what the Almighty said, we say. It says, yet you say, why? Why does not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? And Yahweh said, when the Son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and have done them, he shall surely live. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Now you see two action verbs. I want to make crystal clear in the 19th verse, these two great action verbs. It says, yet you say, why does not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? This is what we say, our people that's lost. Why can't Christ die for Joseph, Mary, and the world? Well, Yahweh said, when the Son has done that which is lawful and right, and have kept all my statutes, and have done them, he shall surely live. So in other words, keep or kept means to protect, to observe, to watch out for, to guard, to hedge about. That's what the word kept means, to keep it, to protect it. Just like he told Adam to keep the garden. But then he also said, and has done them. That means protect his laws and do them, because you got to perform them. You must keep his laws. You must do his law. This is what he's telling us. He said he shall surely live. He shall not die. That means he won't die in his wickedness, but he'll die in his righteousness. Hallelujah. Like Abraham died in his righteousness. And Abraham is going to rise to everlasting life. And so is Daniel. He was promised a lot to be raised up again. And so was Job, a righteous man who escheweth evil. These are righteous men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. But guess what? Guess what? Go four chapters prior to the 18th and go to the 14th chapter of Ezekiel and see what Yahweh said, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the earth. This is what Yahweh said. These aren't my words. Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, it reads, the word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should not deliver, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, said Yahweh Elohim. Hallelujah. They should deliver but their own souls. They could only save, that's what the word deliver means, they can only save their own souls by their righteousness. Furthermore, he said, if I cause northern beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, said Yahweh Elohim, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Oh, my goodness. So, in other words, they couldn't even deliver their own children. They couldn't deliver their own wife. They could only deliver their own souls by their own personal righteousness toward Yah's laws. That's it. And that's why these men were so righteous. That's why the Almighty, when he got ready to compare righteous people, this is one, three of the greatest creams of the crop. Noah, Daniel, and Job. They were all righteous. They were all faithful to the Most High. And guess what? Even they couldn't save nobody else but themselves. Now, what would make us believe this heathen who beat this into us to make us think that somebody was going to come and be able to defy the law of Yahweh, die for your sins, when Yahweh said in Deuteronomy 24, verse 16, like we read earlier, that you die for your own sins, and that he is going to take away all your sins, when Yahweh gave us a day, hallelujah, called the Day of Atonement, that we could have all our sins, all our iniquities, and all our transgressions forgiven. What a great, merciful, loving Elohim. Furthermore, let's read in his great law, in Leviticus, the 16th chapter, let's read what the Creator said about this great day. This is what it reads. In the 20th verse. We're going to start at the 20th verse of Leviticus, the 16th chapter, and get right to this great feast day. And when he has made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and altar, he shall bring the live goat. Remember, the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Wow. The scriptures say wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get ye wisdom. But with all you're getting, get understanding. See, Yahweh is letting us know that this goat in this ceremony, the ceremony, we had a goat that the priest would bring forth, and it would be a live goat. And you notice this goat was not put to death. You notice this goat was not put to death, and all the sins were put on him. Because, understand, my people, do you know that in the New Testament of your Bible that they said that Christ is the sacrificial lamb that died for the sins of the world? This is not even consistent with the ways of Yahweh. For the Almighty allowed this goat to be alive so that he could carry away all the sins, all the iniquities, all the transgressions and uncleanness of the children of Israel in all their sins. That's how he was able to do it. So do you understand, my people, that we have been lied to? We have been lied to so bad and for so long that it's amazing that we're able to keep our heads up
And they've told us that Christ is our atonement. He's our sacrifice.
Christ, according to the story, Christ died. The story reads he had to die for the sins of the people. Now, you can believe that if you want to, but you're just reading in what we did when we were in our own land, when we would have offerings and sacrifices, which we're going to return back to. And just because we don't have no sacrifices and offerings, the Almighty never gave us an excuse to not keep his commandments. Because don't you know, my people, don't you know, Yahweh never required sacrifices and offerings to serve him. That's not his way. His offerings and sacrifices, they were all had to be willing sacrifices and offerings. They had to be willing offerings, willing sacrifices. Do you understand? Maybe if you don't, I'm going to read a few more verses out of this chapter, and then we're going to go to the book of Psalms. But this is what the Almighty letting us know. Furthermore, in the 29th verse, this is what it reads. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls. That means you are not to eat. You're to fast. And we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is what it means. Because through a preponderance of scriptures, the Almighty lets us know that this was a time that we were to afflict our souls. This was a time that we were to withstand from eating and drinking. For this is the day that we're praying to Yahweh that he would forgive all our sins, all our transgressions and iniquities. And I'm going to show you how consistent the word afflict is and synonymous with fasting when it comes to this great day. He said, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as Moses commanded. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. And I praise Yahweh that once in a year we have our sins to be forgiven. And the Almighty, when we were in our land, he required an anointed priest to preside over the ceremony that would cause the sacrifice that through offerings and sacrifices the Almighty gave unto the sons of Aaron, the priests. But believe you me, you don't need a priest, nor do you need an offering, nor do you need a sacrifice to keep the commandments of Yahweh, because there's a great difference. The priests did not blot your sins and our transgressions and our iniquities out. He presided over the ceremony when we were given offerings and sacrifices. But the atonement, the Hebrew word kapura, which means to appease, to atone for, to pacify, this came from your righteousness, not from the priest. See, we don't need a priest to keep the laws of Yahweh. Not at all. For instance, turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. And let's get some wisdom from the mighty Yahweh. In Jeremiah, and let's start in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah. And let's see, we're going to start, let's see which verse we're going to start at, because I want you to see clearly the words of our true and living Elohim. Let's start at the 21st verse of the book of Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, and get understanding when it comes to offerings and sacrifices and how the Almighty feels about it, and can these offerings and sacrifices actually take away your sins? And, of course, they don't take away the sin. It is your righteousness. It is your humbling yourself. It is your obedience that causes the purging and the atonement for our sin. See, we just going to have to do right. And this is what Yahweh letting us know. There's a difference between keeping his commandments and giving sacrifices and offerings. For instance, in the 21st verse, this is what the Creator said. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, put your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and eat flesh. So in other words, the Almighty is telling us, you eat it. You eat the burnt offerings and sacrifices and eat flesh. You do it. For I spoke not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Elohim, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded thee, that it may be well unto thee. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walk in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their necks. They did worse than their fathers. Oh, my goodness. Yah putting the hammer down on us. And he should. He said we went backwards and not forward. Now, what is the backwards of obedience? The backwards of obedience is you giving sacrifices and offerings and thinking that this is what pleases the Almighty. This is what he wants. This is what he requires. And my people, you just read what the Almighty clearly said. Put your burnt offerings and sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spoke not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. And they got many of our people hooked, winked, and bamboozled, and every other name you could call it, into the religion of Christianity and Islam, because they made you believe that you had to have somebody to come to die for your sins,
that you may be forgiven, at least in the religion of Christianity, for sure. And we realize Yahweh said, I never commanded you in the day I brought you out of Egypt concerning some burnt offerings and sacrifices. We really just don't know Yahweh. And he actually said that. He actually said that my people don't even truly know me. If you want to see it, go to Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah, the fourth chapter. See it for yourself. Jeremiah, the fourth chapter, the 22nd verse. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge, no sense. And I was one of them. I was one of them. I used to go to church. I used to think JC was the way, the truth, and the light. So I humbled myself. I humbled myself to admit that I was one of them. I was a lost sheep. But praise Yahweh, I'm found now. I'm not lost at all. I clearly understand his way. And I know that believing that somebody is my sacrifice certainly is not Yah's way. That believing he required some sacrifice, human or animal, is surely not his way. See, my people, human sacrifices is the ways of the Canaanites. Let me say that again. Human sacrificing is the way of the Canaanites. Yahweh gave us laws and commandments and statutes and judgments and precepts and testimonies and ordinances and covenants and all his words that proceeded out of his mouth that we might obey him and be saved from our sins. That's what he gave us. But you have to understand, the heathen believes that if you killed a human, and especially the Canaanites. Furthermore, let's look further of what the Almighty is telling us according to his great laws, according to his great commandments concerning our sins. Let's go to Proverbs. The 16th chapter is very important that you see this. Quite important. Because many people believe that certainly you have to have an offering for your sin. You have to have an offering. You can't keep the Day of Atonement in captivity, Brother Elkanah. You got to have a priest, and you got to have a sacrifice and an offering. And I just showed you one of many places where Yahweh never even commanded our fathers, when he brought us out of Egypt, concerning some burnt offerings and sacrifices, but he told you to obey his voice. And I'm going to show you what he said with his voice. Proverbs, the 16th chapter, the 6th verse. This is what it reads. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of Yahweh, men depart from evil. Hallelujah. My people, the word purge in this scripture is the same Hebrew word, look it up for yourself, as to atone. The same Hebrew word as the Day of Atonement. So in other words, by mercy. So in other words, by love. So in other words, by faithful love. And truth, iniquity is atoned for. That's how you get atoned for your sins. You got to do some works. You got to do some righteousness. You got to be faithful. That's how you get your sins forgiven. Understand, it ain't about no
no sacrifices and offerings that have you to forget sins. It ain't about a priest or a man at all that would have took away your sins. Only Yahweh blots transgressions out. No one else. So you don't need a priest to do right. You simply don't need a priest to serve Yahweh. All you need to do is turn your hearts and return back to the Creator, no matter where you at. Because you got Israelites that believe that you can't keep this Day of Atonement because you need an offering and a sacrifice and a priest. Yahweh said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is atoned for. The Hebrew word, Kippur. Hallelujah. See, righteousness delivereth from death. It's your righteousness. And that's, wouldn't that, isn't that what Yahweh said when he spoke of Noah, Daniel, and Job in Ezekiel the 14th chapter? He said, they shall only save or deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Hallelujah. Even in this same chapter, in the 8th verse, the Creator said, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. I know that's right. Furthermore, in the same chapter, Yahweh said in the 13th verse, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speak it right. Hallelujah. My people, it's all about righteousness. You know, people say, what's happening, man? What's going on? Yah's righteousness, that's what's going on. His righteousness, his truth. For Yahweh is righteous. Hallelujah. Furthermore, in the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter, Yahweh told us to afflict our souls on this day, starting tomorrow in the evening. From evening to evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And of course, the word afflict means to fast. In Isaiah, the 58th chapter, we see line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, what the Almighty is speaking of. Yahweh asks us a question in this 5th verse. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to Yahweh? Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke, that you deal your bread. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou coverest him, that thou hide not thyself from your own flesh. Then shall thy light bring forth as the morning, and thine help shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of Yahweh shall be your reward. Then shall thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away the mist of thee, the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Hallelujah. all up in this scripture, this chapter, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Affliction is synonymously associated with fasting, for this is what this day represents, a day that we will consider the hungry and be happy that we have something to eat, a time that we should reflect on our sins and that we need to change, myself included, all Israel. We have all sinned against Yahweh. So we must take upon this fast by his laws and his commandments, because we have all sinned against him, us and our forefathers. Furthermore, as we continue to understand the words of the true and living Elohim, we find when it comes to his great laws and his statutes and his commandments concerning sacrifices and offerings and how you never needed these things, my people, just go to Isaiah, the first chapter. Go to Isaiah chapter 1 and see furthermore what your Creator has laid on record for us to remember forever. And we're going to open the phone lines up in just a minute. All you got to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1, and we will put your question or comment on the air. Area code 323-443-7418. Any questions or comments? Isaiah, the first chapter, this is what it reads. And I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, said Yahweh? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hands to tread my courts? Now, Yahweh making a statement that we need to pay close attention to. He said, who required this? Because sacrifices and offerings Yah did not require. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. We never needed to go through some ritual called the Holy Communion where you emulate and simulate cannibalism by saying that Christ's body is the bread, or the bread represents his body, and the Kool-Aid or the fruit punch or the wine, in which some of these drunken preachers do in the church, it represents his blood. Do you know, my people, Yahweh hates this. Just read what he said in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, about it. He said, your drink offerings and your sacrifices, he said, you called on them that you gave drink offerings and sacrifices to when you're in trouble. Call on them when your troubles come. See, will they help you? Because none of them have helped us. None of them. Y'all didn't require sacrifices and offerings, y'all. Can't you see? He letting you know right here. These things were not required. I'm going to show you in the law. Go to Leviticus, the first chapter. Go to Leviticus, the first chapter, and see the fundamental truth of just what the Most High felt about sacrifices and offerings. and you would be shocked. If you've never seen this before, you would be shocked, because it's going to let you know that we've been lied to about Yahweh, and they have lied on him for so many years. Maybe it's because of Jeremiah 4, verse 22, which we read earlier. He said, my people have not known me. They don't even understand the Almighty. They don't even understand that he will never accept a human sacrifice for your sin. Do you understand? He will never do that. He would never accept a human sacrifice for our sin. Do you understand? Yahweh is letting you know right here, this is his way. The first verse of Leviticus 1. And Yahweh called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto Yahweh, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yahweh. Hallelujah. As I mentioned, in a few minutes, we're going to be opening our phone lines. If you'd like to make a comment or if you'd like to ask a question, all you have to do is call area code 323-443-7418, hit the number 1, and we will address your great comment or your question. But right now, let's look at this real clear. Hallelujah. He said, if any man of you, in the second verse, shall bring your offering of the cattle, of the herd, or the flock, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yahweh. Hallelujah. So that means Yahweh has never threatened us that I'm going to kill you, that I'm going to shoot you, that I'm going to bust you in the head when you don't bring me no sacrifices and offerings. You're reading right here that if we bring it, if our ancestors was going to bring him an offering, if, that is, that means conditionally, that means you're not required, but if you did bring one, all he doing is telling you, offer a male without blemish. And he tell you where to bring it. And he tell you how to bring it. And he tell you how to prepare it, if you bring it. But it got to be voluntarily. There's no demand. In the book of Psalms, look what Yahweh said furthermore in Psalms 50. And like I said, we're going to be opening our phone lines up in just a minute. Call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1, we'll put you on. Psalms 50. Look what Yahweh said in the 5th verse. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Elohim is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am Elohim, even thy Elohim. I will not reprove thee. See, reprove means to rebuke. I will not reprove thee for your sacrifices or thy burnt offerings. who have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of your house, nor he goats out of your foes. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field, they mine too. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. What good would it do? For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. Yahweh is great. Yahweh is mighty, and he's allowing us to get to know him. There's some of us getting to know him better. I hope many of my Christian brothers and my Muslim brothers, whom I love dearly, and sisters, I hope you're getting to know the Almighty better right here, because Yahweh is letting you know that he never required no one to give any sacrifices or offerings. He never required these things. This was all a plot taught by enemies on the plantations of slavery. Never at all, period, ever required for us to give him any offerings. And what makes it so good about it? It's all through the book. It's all through the book. For instance, go to the book of Micah. Go to Micah, and I'll show you what I mean. We're going to go to Micah, the 6th chapter. Because let me tell you something, my people. As I mentioned earlier, the Canaanites, they believed in human sacrifice. The Canaanites did. They believed in human sacrifice. And the Almighty was letting you know he ain't requiring no human sacrifice for your sins. Yahweh wants obedience. He's not even requiring animal sacrifice for your sins. Do you understand? The sacrifices of Yahweh is the sacrifices of righteousness. Hallelujah. And this is what I mean. In the book of Micah, the 6th chapter, and I want you to understand, my people, because we're preparing our hearts, our minds, and souls for this great day on the TUES day, the third day of the week, the 17th of September, for the Day of Atonement, that Yahweh will take away our sins and our transgressions and iniquities, that we will change from our evil ways and our doings, that we will make ourselves a new heart and a new way and a new mind. He told us in Ezekiel 18th chapter, you make you a new heart. The power is within ourselves to do right. But, you know, they taught us to be weak. They taught us to be a sissy. A punk. Yeah, depend on another man. He'll make sure you'll be all right. We were taught by somebody who led 12 men to leave their wife and children on a boat just to sail with him. Things that make you go, Paul said, I wish everybody was like me and didn't get married. Things that make you go, But we're supposed to be real men. Men of Yahweh, his servants, to obey him, to be strong and courageous. We are responsible for our own actions. It's time for us to grow up as a nation and take responsibility for ourselves. Because guess what? It truly ain't the white man that truly is doing these things to us. Once you get to know Yahweh, you're going to find out Yahweh called for the white man. Yahweh called for the enemies of ours to come up against us because we didn't want to do his laws and his commandments. And look what Yahweh said in the book of Micah, the 6th chapter, the 6th verse. It says, wherewith shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with the thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of thee? Because he letting you know, burnt offerings and calves and rams and rivers of oil and your fruit of your own body, he never required this. He never even spoke this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of thee? But to do justly. That means be righteous and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy Elohim. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. That's all the Most High wants us to do. That's all. He wants us to walk humbly before him. That's all he wants us to do. I'm going to show you how consistent this is. Hosea, the 6th chapter. Go to Hosea, the 6th chapter, and the 6th verse. This is what it reads. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. That's deep. I desired mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. Furthermore, let's see what he did to Saul in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. This is what Yahweh told Saul through the mouth of his prophet Samuel. Because instead of him keeping the commandments of Yahweh, he felt like that offerings was really what the Almighty wanted. And the people made sure, and he blamed the people. He said, the people made me do it. Because they all wanted to give offerings to him, the best of offerings. And some of y'all think that Yahweh is going to accept JC, or Christ, or Yahshua, or Yahushua. They got all kind of little funny names for the lie. And a lot of our people believing and depending on this thing, that he going to pull them through. They ain't got to keep no laws and no commandments, but he going to pull them through. And then some people, some of our beloved brothers and sisters, know that they are the true Hebrew Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by the way, only worship Yahweh. They were only faithful to Yahweh and no man. And he never told us to be faithful to him. Some of our people that know they're Hebrew Israelites, they still believe that Christ died for their sins. Well, let me show you. Let me show you, because Yahweh addresses it in his word, how he feels about sacrifices. 1 Samuel 15, when Saul came back and had all these animals and cattle bleeding in the ear of Samuel the prophet, this is what went on. in the 17th verse. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And Yahweh anointed thee king over Israel. And Yahweh sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. See, that was the commandment. He told them to kill them all, utterly destroy. All you got to do is read this whole chapter. You'll see he told them, don't spare nothing in the third verse. He said, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Why? Because the second verse reads, thus said Yahweh of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. So you got to understand, my people, Yahweh has a good reason for why he do things. But we believe in trusting in our own hearts and thinking that the same man who enslaved us, the same man who castrated our fathers, who raped our mothers and got us looking like a speck of bird, the same man who discriminates against us, the same man who taught us on the plantations and beat it into our ancestors, that somebody died for our sins. When Yahweh said, you die for your own, you must understand, Yahweh was letting us know that he is the one who saves. And we sinned against him. It was him that we sinned against. Because our ancestors never served no JC. They never served no other gods except Yahweh, our righteous ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Noah, Daniel, and Job, and many of the other of our people that serve Yahweh. So the Almighty was letting Samuel or Saul know through Samuel that when he was little, the Almighty made him a king. When he didn't think of nothing of himself, the Creator raised him up as a king. And then the Almighty gave him instructions, and he didn't obey him. And he said, and Yah sent thee on a journey in the 18th verse, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of Yahweh, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of Yahweh. Because let me tell you, this is a great evil. Let me keep going. And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh, and have gone the way which Yah sent me, and it brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh, thy Elohim, in Gilgal. And you know, it's sad, but some of our people really believe they serving Yahweh by worshiping on Sunday. Or some of them worship on the Sabbath day, but they ain't worshiping Yahweh on the Sabbath day. They're going to a church or even a so-called sanctuary, and they believe in Yahshua. And some of our people actually believe that and know that they are the true Israelites, and they still worship even on the Sabbath. But they're acknowledging someone that Yahweh don't even know. And they're acknowledging Yahweh and somebody the Almighty don't even know. Somebody the Almighty never even spoke to in the entire Bible. Verse 21st verse. Again, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh the Elohim in Gilgal. And Samuel said, as Yahweh has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrificing, as in obeying the voice of Yahweh, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected thee from being king. Whew. That's heavy. That's heavy. And little do our people know. Little do our people know that when you're serving Yeshua, Christ, JC, call him what you want, don't you know you're doing no more different than your forefathers that served false gods when they were in their own land? It's no different. Don't you know when you believe that he is your sacrifice, when Yahweh said we were not even going to have a sacrifice? And you got to see that. When you believe that he's your sacrifice, and you think that he's going to take care of all the business on Judgment Day, you got another thought coming. Let's go to Hosea. Let's go to Hosea, the third chapter, in the time we have left. Hosea chapter 3, and see what thus said Yahweh. Hosea, the third chapter, the fourth and fifth verse. Check this out. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without ephod, and without teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek Yahweh, the Elohim, and David, their king, and shall fear Yahweh and his goodness in the latter days. Hallelujah. Praise be to the mighty Yahweh. For the children of Israel, that's who we are, as black descendants of slaves. Yah said, for the children of Israel are going to abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without teraphim. So no sacrifice. Christ is not our sacrifice. Do you hear me? Christ is not our sacrifice for our sins. Because the children of Israel are going to abide many days without a sacrifice, without a king, without an ephod. So in other words, we should be serving Yahweh. We should be preparing our hearts today to serve Yahweh before it's too late. Before it's too late. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, I'll show you what I mean. Isaiah, chapter 55. Here's what the true and the living Elohim has left on record for us. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, this is what it reads in verse 8. Excuse me. Verse 6. Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. See, understand, my people. Returning to the Almighty, forsaking your evil ways, and that the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Yahweh is telling you, return unto him before it's too late. Seek Yahweh while he may be found, because it might be a time where you think you can find him, but you can't. You can't find him. Stop listening to the heathen. Let me show you what I mean when I say that. Just go to the next chapter of Isaiah 56 and see the heathen told us that Christ died and there is no need anymore for sacrifices and offerings because he was the scapegoat. He is the sacrificial lamb that died for the sins of the whole world. No need anymore for burnt offerings and sacrifices. This is a thing of the past. This was a shadow of things to come. These are some of the schemes, lies, and deceits of our enemies. But let's see. Let's see what Yahweh got to say in the book of Isaiah, the 56th chapter. Let's see. Isaiah, the 56th chapter. This is what the Most High said, starting at the 4th verse. Thus said Yahweh to the eunuchs that keepeth my Sabbaths and chooseth the things that please me and taketh hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and inside my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves unto Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servant, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. So we see that Yahweh is letting us know that his house is going to be called a house of prayer for all people. And guess what? He said he will make them joyful in his house. A prayer. He said when they bring their burnt offerings and their sacrifices, they're going to be accepted on his altar. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. We're going to return back to sacrificing and offerings. And of course, you can read the same thing in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. You can read where Yahweh prophesied that we're going to be bringing back offerings. So, my people, it has truly been a pleasure to be on this broadcast. I praise the true and living Elohim that he has given us his laws and his statutes and his great day of atonement. I pray to the Most High Yahweh that he will bless you, that he will take away all our sins, iniquities, and transgressions, that we be faithful unto him and make true changes forever. We love you. And if you have any questions, further questions or comments, all you got to do is call area code 404-579-7908. 404-579-7908. Or you can call 770-603-6018. On behalf of the entire House of Israel of Atlanta, Yahweh loves you, and so do we. Shalom.